Thank you for downloading this podcast. We trust you will be blessed by the following message from High Praise.
Go ahead and turn in your Bibles this morning to Mark chapter 9. I want to share a message this morning that I have entitled, The God of the Impossible. The God of the Impossible. Many of you are aware that at the beginning of the year, I shared, and I do this every year at the beginning of the year, I shared what I call the Word of the Lord for 2016. Of course, according to what year it is, you know, obviously the title will be a little bit different, but I shared what I believe the Lord was speaking for us as a church body, certain themes, certain things that the Lord was wanting us to focus on for the year 2016. And one of the things that I felt the Lord say is that 2016 was, that it would be a year of mind-blowing miracles. Everybody say mind-blowing miracles. Ephesians says this, Paul, whenever he was writing to the church at Ephesus, to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we dare ask or think, according to the power that works on the inside of us. So God has already placed power on the inside of us that's able to accomplish and do things that we never even dreamed were possible or capable of performing. There is power, dunamis, that God has placed on the inside of you that will cause some things to transpire that you've never seen transpire before. And I believe that the Lord is wanting to activate that and bring that to a greater level of fulfillment and a greater level of manifestation. How many of you will say, Lord, I want you to do that within my life? Bring your dunamis power to a whole nother level of manifestation. Bring it to a greater level of glory. I know the year has not ended. We are just now, have just now entered into the month of October, and so we have 3 months left in the year. And I believe that we're going to see some things in the end of this year that are going to surpass and be greater than anything that we've seen up until now. Praise God. Amen. And by the way, it may not be performed with your football team. I'm so glad that God is not limited by what football teams are doing on the field. Can everybody say that? All of us Florida State fans, we'd be really disappointed if God was, you know, what he was going to do. Well, praise the Lord. Anyway, and some of you other folks, you'd be really discouraged too. See, we don't base our joy, our happiness, or what we believe God for by what happens on the football field. Listen, what God desires to do within your life is so greater than what you see on Saturday or Sunday or Monday night or Thursday night. What God wants to do is to blow your mind. How in the world I got on that, I don't know. But, you know, there were some blow your mind plays yesterday. You know, things, I'm talking about impossible things. I don't know if anybody watched any of the Georgia-Tennessee. Did you see that last? All the Tennessee fans are really excited. All the Georgia fans, they brought their Kleenex today. But I mean, the reality, what was it? I don't know how many seconds were left in the game, but in the closing seconds of the game, Georgia threw a pass, a touchdown pass, and guy ran it. I mean, it was over. Lights out. Lights, camera, no action. You know what I'm saying? And then one play, shoom. Hail Mary pass, greater than the Doug Flutie Hail Mary. See if anybody remembers who he is. But anyway, greater than anything Doug Flutie ever did, and caught the ball in the end zone. The coach ran out and he began to cry because it was, somebody had done something exceedingly abundantly above all that they could dare ask or think. But hear this, as wonderful and as magnificent and as mind-blowing as that is, what God desires to do within your life is going to surpass that to the nth degree. Hallelujah. Amen. God's got a Hail Mary for you. Hallelujah. It may seem like lights out, camera act, forget it. It's all over. You know, they've already declared that it's dead. But hear this, even though it's been in the grave 3 or 4 days, God will show up at the tomb. Jesus will show up at the tomb of Lazarus and say, Lazarus, come forth. Hallelujah. It ain't over. Look at somebody and say, it ain't over. To him who was able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we dared ask. You know, when my mind thinks pretty big. I'm thinking about this. According to the power, he's going to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you dare ask or think. Above all that you dare ask or think. That's mind-blowing, my friend. That's something beyond your thinking. When it's above what you dare ask or even think, it's beyond the thinking of your mind. And I really believe the Lord wants to expand our faith and begin to cause us to stretch out and believe for that which everybody else has said is impossible. I don't care what it is. I don't care what it looks like in your family. I declare to you that He is the God of the impossible, and He will, not only can He, but He will turn it around for you. I said He will turn it around for you. Cliff, He will turn it around. Hallelujah. He's already said that He would, and now you're going to see Him do it. Hallelujah. Some of you may have family members that are bound by all sorts of demonic powers. But hear this, I have good news for you. As great as the power that has held them in captivity, the power of God is far superior and far greater than anything that they are being held by right now. And all he's got to do is just kind of flick his finger, so to speak, and the devils go here and there, and those people are set free. There is freedom. There is deliverance. There is great breakthrough that God is bringing. Hallelujah. You need to grab hold of whatever pertains to you, and you need to say, yes, Lord, let it be done in my life. Amen. Let it happen in my life in the name of Jesus. Amen. You know, when we were praying, I heard this. The Lord showed this to me as we were praying, that there were some of you, when we were praying during the offering, there were some of you that were saying, well, you don't understand my employer. There were some of you that were saying that I only make so much money. Well, you know, I'm on a fixed income. Listen, you're only on a fixed income if you say you're on a fixed income. I want everybody to hear this. I am not on a fixed income, and you're not on a fixed income. I know the government may say one thing, but God's able to do above what the government's able to do. He's able to do above what your employer is able to do. I remember whenever we first went on staff many, many years ago at Christian International. And I had come from a real strong Word of Faith church. And, you know, we believed in prosperity because it's in the Bible. I said it's in the Bible. I mean, if you're going to believe the Bible, then you got to believe that prosperity is for you. Amen. You got to believe that God wants to make you the head. And if you're going to believe the Bible, you got to believe that He wants to make you the head and not the tail. If you're going to believe the Bible, then you have to believe that Jesus said, give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will men give unto your bosom. Do you believe that? If you're going to believe the Bible, I believe that just like I believe John 3:16. Just like I believe Romans 10:9-10. I believe every scripture, every promise that God has made concerning financial blessing and breakthrough belongs to me and it belongs to you. Amen. So, you know, whenever we went on staff there, this is way back in the end of 1987, and the ministry was not, as we'd say, you know, they were hiring us on by faith because they really didn't even have the money to hire us on. And they put me on a salary of $1,000 a month. Now, you got to understand that I do have a wife and I do have one child. Joshua is 2 years old at that time. The place that I had come from previously, we were making around $1,600 a month, so we were able to live on one salary. We didn't live high on the hog, so to speak, but we were at least able to pay all of our bills. And so, you know, that meant that Stacy was going to have to go back to work and all sorts of things. But the bottom line is that was all that they had. They were doing what they could do. But I want you to hear this. Their limitation was not God's limitation. And their limitation did not negate all the seed that I had been sowing for years and years before that. God didn't say, well, you know, they can only pay you this much, so you know that's you're just going to be stuck there. Forget about the seed that you've been sowing over the past years. Let me tell you what began to happen. God began to open up channels of blessing and finances that had not been opened before. As a matter of fact, the very month that we went on staff at Christian International was the very month that we got our first royalty check on music that I had written. I remember getting that check. It was for almost $2,000. I mean, I was, whoa, Lord, watch out, James Brown, here I come. See, God was saying, I am not going to limit what I do in your life just because your employer is only able to pay you so much. You know, as a church, there is some limitations, if you want to use that word right now, that we are able to do as a church body for all of our staff. But understand this, that does not limit the God that they serve to be able to do something that's greater than what we can do. Many of you have a set salary or income, but it doesn't limit God nor what He wants to do within your life. You see, you got to get your eyes off the employer. Get your eyes off the person that's paying you. They're not your source anyway. Look at somebody and say, they're not my source. Look at somebody and say, you're not my source. Look at somebody and say, Jehovah Jireh is my source. Look at somebody and say, El Shaddai is my source. Look at somebody and say, He's more than enough. Hallelujah. See, I'm not limited by what a ministry can pay me. Woo! Lord, break us out of the limitations. We're going to talk about it some more in just a moment. But break us out of the limitations of our stinking thinking. Lord, break us out of the old thinking that we can only have. And if the employer raises me, then I can be blessed. No, you can be blessed regardless of what the employer does. I said God can bless you regardless of what your employer does. And where it doesn't come in from one channel, it'll come in from another. Hallelujah. See, I'm a multi-channel believer. A multi-flow. I'm not saying, God, you can only bless me in this way. You know what? I believe that there's revenue, there's streams. There's streams of blessing that are flowing in every direction into my life. Boy, if you got ears to hear, you better grab hold of this today because it'll make a difference within your life. Whenever you stop limiting God by what you have just, you put Him in a box and the Lord is saying, I want to break out of the box, but you're going to have to change your thinking. You're going to have to change your believing if you want to see me do something that is greater than what you've seen in days past. I've seen God do some great things, but I'm telling you, what God is going to do and what He is prepared to do in the future is greater than anything that we have seen. Mark 9, verse 17, let's read this. Then one of the crowd answered and said, Teacher, I brought you my son who has a mute spirit. And wherever it seizes him, it throws him down. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. So I spoke to your disciples that they should cast it out, but they could not. He answered and said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him to me. I want you to underline, oh, faithless generation, and then bring him to me. We'll get back to that, the Lord willing, a little bit later in the message. You know, a lot of times I used to think that it was just because of the unbelief of his disciples. But I think it's very interesting that Jesus, to this man, he says, oh, faithless generation. And this is my personal opinion. A lot of times people are putting their faith in an individual. And this man believed that Jesus could do it, but didn't believe the disciples could. And I want you to understand this, that God can use anybody. There's more people that can prophesy in this church other than just me. And there's more people that can see healing and miracles than just me. Every one of you are anointed by the Holy Ghost, and there is miracle-working power whenever you lay hands on somebody and begin to speak the name of Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. And I really believe that when he was speaking of faithless generations, you've got everything locked up into one channel and one way, and you believe that I'm the only person that can do this. Whenever I have even decreed and I've released my anointed and my anointing within my disciples, I have delegated to them power and authority. Are you following what I'm saying? Well, I'll get back to that later. Verse 20, then they brought him to him. And when he saw him, immediately the spirit convulsed him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming at the mouth. So he asked his father, how long has this been happening to him? And he said, from childhood. And often he has thrown him both into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus said to him, get this, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. The man has asked Jesus a question. If you can do anything, Jesus turns around and asks him a question, if you can believe. See, the question isn't really if I can do. The question is, can you believe? The question isn't about whether or not I have the power. You're asking the wrong question right now. The question is this, are you willing to believe? Can you actually believe that this is possible? All things are possible to him who believes. Immediately the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, get this, help my unbelief. Look at somebody and say, sometimes unbelief needs help. In other words, there's sometimes we may believe God to a certain point, but then there are still some areas where unbelief has had a hold that keeps us from moving forward and moving farther and that which we see God do within our lives. And listen, there's nothing wrong. You know, Jesus did not rebuke the man because he said, Lord, help my unbelief. You know, sometimes you need to say, Lord, help my unbelief. I want to say this. I believe that today the Lord is going to help every area where there's been unbelief within your life. And God is going to break down the doubt, the unbelief, the skepticism so that you can move into a greater realm of manifestation. Amen? Look at somebody and say, I want him to do it in my life. And if you're saying, well, I already believe everything. Well, you're the first one. There's always room for growth. I said there's always room for growth. And there's always areas of our life. I remember many, many years ago in 1993, Pastor Stacy and I, we went through what we call now LRM. Back then we called it Prophetic Prayer Counseling. We call it here now Life Restoration Ministry. It's headed up by Pastor Will and Barbara Holloway. We have many people, many couples in this church that are actually counselors and ministers. And by the way, I would encourage every member of this church to go through this program at least once, praise God. It'll make a difference within your life. It'll make a profound difference within your life. It'll set you, and by the way, you may say, well, I went through 10 years ago. It's about time for you to go through again. But anyway, man, you could never, I didn't realize, and one of the things that we deal with in LRM is what we call ungodly beliefs. What are we call, is that, do we still call them ungodly beliefs or ungodly beliefs? And although I was, man, I came out of Word of Faith, you would never, ever hear me say out of my mouth, I'm sick. You would never hear words about poverty or lack coming out of my mouth. But as we begin to go into this ministry, I begin to realize, wow, there's a lot of unbelief that I still have that I didn't realize. There was areas that I was believing wrong. You know what unbelief actually is? It's believing the wrong thing. Unbelief isn't really you don't believe anything. It just means you believe the wrong thing. I'll say that again. Unbelief is not the lack of belief. Unbelief is you're believing the wrong thing. You know what? And I realized very quickly, wow, I've been believing the wrong things in several different areas. And I'm actually, my faith is working in reverse and I'm getting negative consequences, negative results because I'm believing wrong. It's not I don't believe, I believe something. But it's actually what the Bible calls unbelief or an ungodly belief, a belief that is contrary to the Word of God. And I, listen, Again, I want everybody to understand, say this, no condemnation. Everybody say no condemnation. What I'm about to say, I'm not saying that to condemn anybody. And if you've ever been through this situation, understand there is no condemnation. But anytime there is a divorce and there is a separation, it is because there is ungodly beliefs that are present in one or both of the parties. I'm talking about born-again, spirit-filled believers. I'm not condemning anybody. Thank God he's a God of restoration. Hallelujah. But understand this. We can prevent those things from happening if we will deal with those issues, the things that cause us to believe wrongly about our spouses. If you ever believe my spouse don't love me, that's an ungodly belief. Maybe they're not loving you right now, but if you begin to believe that, then you're going to reinforce that within their life. You'll draw that out of them. Well, thank you for that overwhelming response. We can stop a lot of things if we get our believing right. Hey, why can't we believe my spouse loves me and I love my spouse? We were ordained to be together. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm glad that God ordained me to be with this beautiful woman right here on the front row. You know what? God could have looked all over the, as a matter of fact, he looked all over the world and he found the one that was just perfect for me. Hallelujah. Right here. 35 years I've been with her and I'm planning on being with her for another 35 years. Hallelujah. Amen. Don't get too excited about that, but I praise the Lord. I'm playing with her. I'm planning on being with her in maybe even 40, maybe 40, 50, 60. All right. I'm planning on being with her for a long time. I've got too much invested. Bible says to train up a wife in the way that she should go. It doesn't say that? Okay. Somebody straighten me out at the end of a sermon. No, the reality is I love her. She loves me. And you know what? You have to believe that. Because once you begin to believe wrongly about your spouse, see, you don't, what you believe, how to get off on this, what you believe about the person that you're married to, you do not base it upon by what you see. It's based upon what God's word promises you. Oh, I don't have time to go there. If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. God can turn that spouse around. Immediately, the father of the child cried out and said, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, deaf and dumb spirit, I command you, come out of him and enter him no more. Then the spirit cried out, convulsed him greatly, and came out of him. And he became as one dead, so that many said, he's dead. But Jesus took him. Jesus killed him. Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he had come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, why could we not cast it out? He said to them, this kind can come out by nothing but prayer and fasting. But prayer and fasting. Now, I want you to underline prayer and underline fasting. There are four specific things in this passage of Scripture that Jesus addresses. And you could possibly say there are more, but I want to point out four specific things this morning that he addresses that keeps things that are impossible to man from becoming a reality within our lives. He said all things are possible to him who believes. In other words, there is nothing that is too difficult. There is nothing that is impossible. All things are possible to him who believes. If you will only believe, you'll see these things manifest. If you will, you know, it's not can I do these things? The question is, will you believe? Because if you will believe and you get your believing right, you get your thinking right, then you will see impossible things become possible. You'll see blow your mind miracles happen and take place within your life. We have to understand that God wants to do the impossible within your life. Look at somebody and say, God wants to do the impossible within your life. I'm sure that there are many that are here this morning that you've had people, possibly doctors, possibly financial advisors, possibly family members that may have told you it is impossible for you to ever be able to do this. It is impossible for this thing to ever happen within your life. My friend, you need to erase those things out of your thinking, erase them out of your mind, because I declare to you that we serve the God of the impossible. Hallelujah. He wants to do things that are going to blow your mind. Hallelujah. I don't know how my business is going to be resurrected. I'll tell you how it's going to be resurrected. God's going to give you a strategy. He's going to give you a plan. You're going to enact that. And then God is going to, by His Spirit, begin to move in your business, and He will resurrect it just like He did Lazarus. Amen? We're in a season where the Lord's saying that it's time to stretch your faith. Begin to believe for greater. I said it's time to believe for greater. I'm making a declaration. I did this at the first of the year. I want to say it once again, that we as a church body, we are going to stretch our faith and begin to believe for greater than what we have believed in days past. I believe the Lord is saying it's time to get out of the boat and walk on water. I hear the Spirit of the Lord saying it's time to get out of your comfort zone and begin to reach beyond the borders that you've had. Take your tent pegs and stretch them out farther. Amen. Amen. How many of you are willing to do that today? Again, the man says, Lord, help my unbelief. To move into the arena of the impossible, you must, first of all, hear this, address the areas of unbelief within your life. You cannot move into the realm of the impossible becoming a reality if you do not address areas of unbelief within your life. And by the way, there's nothing wrong with actually saying and being honest and being truthful, there is an area that I have an issue and I've got to address this area of unbelief. Some of you have some areas where the enemy has tried to build a stronghold and a fortress in the area of family and what you believe God can do within your family, within your children, within aunts, uncles, grandparents, whoever it may be. But I'm declaring to you today that God is going to cause that thing to be crushed and annihilated, and He is expanding your believing to a greater level. Hallelujah. But you've got to address the areas of unbelief. You can't move beyond the area of your faith. You must confront the issues that keep your faith small. These are enemies of the impossible. Let me say this. You could never take territory if you don't address the enemy that is possessing it presently. You can't take control of that territory if you don't address what has already been there. As a matter of fact, whenever the Lord spoke to the children of Israel to go into the land of Canaan to take possession of it, if you will actually define the word possess, it is the Hebrew word yaresh, which means to occupy by driving out the previous tenants. In other words, you can't occupy the territory until, first of all, you drive out whoever else was there first. And hear this, there's an enemy called unbelief. There's an enemy called small thinking. There's an enemy called skepticism that has been invading your territory. And in the name of Jesus, we're going to dispossess that so that faith can begin to arise, so that we can begin to see the impossible performed. Amen. We're going to do it by the power of the Word of God. We're going to do it by the power of the Holy Spirit. We're going to do it by reinforcing what we know is truth. Amen? Jesus points out things that are enemies of the impossible being done. The first thing that we see in verse 19, He says, O faithless generation. The word faithless there literally means small or no faith. Faithless, it means either small or no faith. In other words, having small faith is equivalent, hear this, to being faithless. Believing God just at this level, whenever God wants us to believe up here, that's called being faithless. Having no faith to believe God for the greater things, it's faithless. And so the first thing that in order to do to address this is this. I want you to write this down. You've got to rid yourself of all limitation. All lack of faith is rooted in some way or another to limitation. It is putting limits on what God can do. Listen, we owe money on this building We need to, as a congregation, not just me as the pastor, but as a congregation, we need to come into agreement that this building is paid off and we are debt free. Amen. It, by the way, it's not breaking our back or anything like that, but you know what? That's $9,000 a month that we would have to be able to go to something else. Now, we're in a very positive equity position here in this church body and with this building, but understand, I don't want to just be in a positive equity position. I'd rather be in a place where I'm positive equity and I owe no debt. I have no liability. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I don't have any liabilities. Do you believe that if we'll actually begin to extend our faith and believe God that we can see this church, this building paid off supernaturally? Listen, I'm not putting my faith and trust in what you can do. I'm saying to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we dare ask or think. Amen? All God has to do is just move on one person. I mean, seriously. It only requires one person. It only requires, I mean, God's not going to counterfeit money and rain it down from heaven. Or, let me back up here, because we're not going to limit what God will do. If all of a sudden in 1 year, everybody began to have an income double to what you have right now. And you continue to tithe and give offerings. I'm not even increasing your percentage. In 1 year, we would totally alleviate all debt. Anybody want to believe God for increase? You see, we got this old false humility. Well, you know, Lord, I don't really need that. You know, I don't really. Yes, you do. Look at somebody and say, you need it. Look at somebody and say, you need the increase. Well, I don't really need that. I don't really need that. Oh, I'll be okay. I'm barely getting by, but it'll be fine. No, it's not fine. I said, no, it's not fine. If you don't want any of it, then that's fine. But go ahead and accept and receive what God wants to do in your life so that you can be a blessing to the body of Christ and others around you. Are you hearing me? And then think about what kind of tax deduction you'll have. All right, praise the Lord. So you got to rid yourself of limitation. All lack of faith is rooted in some way or another to limitation. Hallelujah. Jimmy, your business is not just limited to Bay County. Hallelujah. I see worldwide distribution. Hallelujah. I see worldwide distribution. I don't know how it's going to happen, and I don't even know. I know you. There's hoses that you manufacture, and there's rubber. That's all I know. But I do know this. The Lord is saying there is increase and expansion. It's blow your mind things that God's going to do in your business. Hallelujah. Will, not limited to just the U.S. Not just limited to an internet business. Not just limited to three or four boats, hallelujah. God's gonna, I see in the spirit God expanding to where you, what you've been doing, there are some different arenas that God is going to have you branch out into. And I just see where you, it's almost like you've been, where you've just been doing like accessories, but the Lord says He's gonna make you a manufacturer of something that many millions are going to want and that are gonna buy. And this is gonna be high dollar stuff. God's bringing millions into your life. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Listen, we're going to keep prophesying it, and we're going to keep declaring it till our faith gets at a level where we say, yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. There's songwriters in this church, and God's going to cause their songs to go to the nations, and God's going to bring forth revenue as a result of their faithfulness to the kingdom of God and what God has called them to do. Hallelujah. Amen. Woo. Wind is blowing. The only thing that limits God in our life is our own thinking and believing. Amen. What's very interesting, it says over in Psalm 78, verse 41, it says, yes, again and again they tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. Do you know the reason that the entire generation that came out of Egypt, the reason that they did not go in and take possession of Canaan is because they limited what God could do within their lives. Their unbelief, their murmuring, their complaining, it was all rooted in limitation. Listen, whenever you know that your Father has no limits and you are firmly seated in that, what happens is whenever there's adversity, it doesn't shake you, it doesn't make you panic. You go, oh, no big deal. I have a limitless Father. I have a limitless God. He's going to take care of the situation. Are you following what I'm saying? All unbelief, all worry, anxiety, all these things, they end up getting, it goes back to you limiting the Lord. What's very interesting where it says that they limited the Holy One of Israel, that word limited literally means scraping. That means to scrape. You ever heard somebody say, we're just scraping by? Oh, hallelujah. They had the mentality of scraping. Oh, praise God. Somebody's going to get a hold of this in just a moment. The Lord's wanting to eradicate that thinking in your mind where you're just going to live from paycheck to paycheck and just scraping by, and you just live in every arena of your life. You're just scraping by. You're just always just barely able to do enough to make the boss happy, barely enough to, you know, to qualify for something. I'm declaring to you by the Spirit of the Lord that God is taking you from scraping to a point of abundance, to a point of overflow. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Would you say, Lord, I receive that today? No more scraping. Look at somebody, say, no more scraping. Look at somebody, say, I'm not scraping any longer. See, I'm declaring in Jesus. I know some people get upset when you start talking about things in the natural, but hear this. Just as much as your salvation, just as much as being baptized in the Holy Spirit and all these things, which are more important, but understand this. This is an important part of the covenant that God cut with you whenever He sent Jesus to the earth. Hallelujah. It's a part of your covenant. It's a part of my covenant. It belongs to me. It belongs to you. Amen? So the Lord's wanting just to totally eradicate this whole idea of I'm scraping by. I'm living from paycheck to paycheck. I'm not living from paycheck to paycheck. I'm living from glory to glory. I'm not living from paycheck to paycheck. I'm living from glory to glory. I'm living from faith to faith. I'm not living from barely get along to barely get along. I'm living to overcoming to overcome. Hallelujah. I'm living from a place of abundance to a place where I don't have room to even hold everything that God has for me. Amen. Now, are y'all getting anything out of this? The root word for this word limited literally means this, to mark out or to scratch. There are a lot of times that I've seen believers do that. Well, that's good for him, but that's not me. They scratch themselves out. They mark themselves out of the promise of God. And I'm declaring that you're not going to mark yourself out of the promise of God. Let me say it like this. Whatever God has done for Cliff Fleming, He'll do for you too. Whatever God's done for Gil Sanchez, He'll do for you too. Whatever He's done for Will Owen, He'll do for you too. Whatever He's done for Will Morris, He'll do for you too. Whatever He's done for J.R. McCardle, He'll do for you too. Hallelujah. And He's got a talking refrigerator. Listen, whatever He's done for them, He'll do for you. Amen. Oh, nobody really needs a talking refrigerator. Why not? Why shouldn't somebody saved, filled with the Holy Ghost, that loves Jesus, that's training his children up in the way of the Lord, why shouldn't he have some nice things in his household? Why not? If anybody ought to have something nice in their house, this man ought to have something nice in his house. He is serving our nation. He is an honorable member of our military. He loves the Lord. He loves the people in this. Why not? Hallelujah. Get out of your stinking thinking. Get out of your stinking thinking. Hallelujah. Look at somebody and say, why not? Listen, if anybody's going to have a house on the water, why not me? If anybody's going to get a good deal on a lot, why not me? Now, I don't have a talking refrigerator, but you know what? I'm going to do a video. I'm going to get me some Bubba teeth and tape an iPad to my refrigerator. Not really. I've threatened to do that, though. I'm going to send it to you, JR. Get me some duct tape. You can put anything on a refrigerator with duct tape. Look at somebody and say, why not? Why shouldn't you have a nice car? Why shouldn't you wear some nice clothes? Why shouldn't you have a good family? Why? This is resonating right now in the spirit. See, God's addressing some of these old religious mindsets that have been in people. Listen, if you said some of this unworthiness, I'm not. Well, yes, you are. You were made worthy by the blood of Jesus. And hear this. Do you think Jesus is worthy? If you think Jesus is worthy of it, then you're worthy of it too. Hallelujah. Because you're a joint heir with, you're a joint heir with Christ. You're an equal heir with Christ Jesus. If he's worthy of it, you're worthy of it. Y'all, excuse me now. I believe the Lord's wanting to get something over to us today. We break off every spirit of small thinking. Boy, the Lord is really just bam, bam, hitting this today. I know that a man's life does not consist, I want to balance this, a man's life does not consist of the abundance of things that he possesses. My joy is not in what I own, not in what I possess, not what in I live in. It is not based upon what I drive. It is not based on any of those things, not based on what kind of clothes I have or even what I'm wearing. But I declare to you this, that God wants to break off the old mindsets of the past, the limitations of the past that have kept us in a place where we're just scraping by and we're marking ourselves out of the promise of God. I'm declaring I'm not marking myself out any longer. I'm marking myself in. Hallelujah. I'm checking the boxes. Prosperity? Yes. Hallelujah. Nice car? Yes. Hallelujah. Nice home? Yes. Hallelujah. Good family? Yes. Yes, hallelujah. Beautiful wife? Woo! Hallelujah. Yes. Glory to God. Children serving God? Yes. Hallelujah. I'm marking myself in. I'm not going to mark myself out. Amen. Stop marking yourself out. Well, that's good for them, but not. What do you mean? They're marking themselves out of the promises of God. Well, that's good for them. Well, yeah, they had a miracle, but. Well, you know, yeah, God did that for them, but. You need to get your butt out of the way. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Would you look at somebody and say, you got to get your butt out of the way? Yeah. Yeah, that's good, but. Yeah, but. Get the butt out of your life. Hallelujah. Get it out of the way. Your butt is keeping the butt. You're mocking yourself out with your butt. Get your butt out of the way and say, yes, Lord, it's mine. I receive every bit of it in the name of Jesus. Would you stand to your feet and give God a shout this morning? Hallelujah.
We trust you received from this powerful message. If you are being blessed by the ministry of High Praise and would like to sow a financial seed, you can do so at our website, highpraisepc.com. At our website, you will also find more information about our services and resources that we have available that will be a blessing to your life. Also, connect with us on Twitter and Facebook. God bless you, and thank you for downloading this podcast from High Praise.